Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Hey, Driven Woman, welcome back. Did you hear last week's podcast episode, my one-year podversary? If not, listen to this one first and then go back and listen to that one. I share with you snippets from many of my favorite episodes over the last year, from client success stories to special guest experts and some of my solo shows. But the purpose of that episode was to really share with you my story about all the fears and procrastination and perfectionism and all of that nonsense I had to overcome to launch my podcast, and more importantly, keep it going for an entire year. This week's special guest is April Adams Pertwee. I first met April in an online community for female entrepreneurs, and I gotta tell you, I gravitated to her right away. She is a delight. She also was an award-winning journalist for many years, and since that was the career path that I was pursuing in college as a communications major, until I let myself get talked out of it by a well-meaning but probably has no business guiding young adults guidance counselor. So of course I was fascinated with the fact that in spite of her success as a journalist, April hit a roadblock a few years back. She knew she wanted to make a bigger difference in the world, and she wanted to reach as many women as possible and empower them by helping them share their stories. She knew she had to go online to do that. Now, April believes every woman has a story to tell, and she is on a mission to teach them how. But you and I both know putting yourself out there in the world is not so easy. There are so many fears to be identified and overcome in order to do that. But when we do, there's so much power in our stories. And when we share them, we inspire others to do the same. So if you struggle with the fear of being seen, rejection sensitivity, imposter syndrome, or even the belief that your story just doesn't matter, I want you to pull up your chair and turn up the volume, because this interview is for you. Before we go there, this week's pod praise comes from Cher Kretz, who writes, "As a woman who is driven, I am so glad I found this podcast. I can get powered up fast and get out there ready to make it happen. Thank you so much." Well, thank you, Cher, for this thoughtful review. And for those of you who are still in the active duty parenting years, Cher is a counselor, coach, and host of the Parenting 2.0, the Focused Mindset podcast. I highly recommend it. So if you want to get better at being seen and telling stories, you have something to share and you believe it matters, but you're not quite there yet, you are going to enjoy this interview with April Adams Pertwee so much. You might even love it as much as I did. Here we go. Well, we are going to jump right into a very important conversation with today's guest, April Adams Pertwee, who is an expert in something that I think many female entrepreneurs really struggle with, and that is standing up, showing up, and speaking up, actually using their voice to spread their message in the world. So, April, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Diane. I'm so happy to be here and excited to have this conversation.
What do you think it is that stops most women? Because this is, I mean, you have an interesting background and know more about communications than most. But I also know that you have devoted yourself at this point in your life, especially to elevating women's voices. Why do you think that's a problem that actually needs to be addressed?
Well, I think this goes back longer than you and I have been alive, and it's generational, and it's, you know, societal, and even in some cases biblical. I mean, it's really that's a loaded question, but let's just take what it is today that stops women. Is it's the four-letter word of fear, and it is the fear of judgment, the fear of being too much, the fear of getting it wrong, you know, not being perfect, the fear of putting too much out there, fear of not being liked, you know, not being welcomed, all of those things. And I could keep going, but I think that gives you a flavor of what are the actual fears that stop us from really showing up and using our voice in a powerful way, and specifically sharing our stories to honor the journey that we've been on. A lot of women let the stories of their life hold power over them instead of using those stories in a powerful way.
Now, I know I started with a loaded question, but that's a loaded answer too.
It was a loaded answer. We could spend a lot of time diving into that.
I love digging deep because I think my audience appreciates that we don't just talk about the superficial. And that's you're right. It is something that women have been dealing with as long as we've been on the planet, you know, that women are supposed to keep silent and, you know, women have to be invited to speak and all of that. And it is multi-generational. It also includes ageism and racism, as well as overt sexism. There's just so much to it. But I think what I really want to tease apart today is how the stories we have in our heads hold us back. But we also have stories in our heads about our lives that we can actually use to transform us and to lead others. And I know that is your purpose. It seems like it would be a big leap to go from one to the other.
Yeah, well, it is a big leap in terms of how we think about it, but the actual leap and the shift is pretty subtle, because we have these stories in our head that are holding us back. And it's really just the difference of if just where are we giving it our attention to, right? Are we paying attention to the stories that are holding us back and letting those just play on a feedback loop in our head, even at an unconscious, subconscious level, right? Or are we actively engaging in the story we really want to tell that we know could be used for something positive, something encouraging, something hopeful, something helpful? And if you really just spend a few minutes, you could probably find a few of those stories inside of you. But you have to actually give those stories a little bit of attention and start to feed that garden, nurture that garden, instead of spending so much time watering the other one. And that's really just the subtle shift that we have to make. But in our mind's eye, when we think about it, they feel so far apart, but they really aren't, because it's just kind of like a light switch. You know, you turn it on or you turn it off. And we have to make conscious decisions about, are we going to sit in the dark or are we going to sit in the light? That's just really how it is. And that's how plain and simple I see it. Now, it's simple, but it's not easy. I will honor that. It's not easy.
I appreciate that distinction. And you're right. It's something that I have studied extensively is neuroscience. And I think, honestly, I think this should be taught to children in grade school. People don't generally know how their brain works. And I think if everyone on the planet knew that we're basically born with a brain that's like an empty field. And as we begin to grow, the adults in our life, and then eventually siblings and teachers and grandparents and all kinds of others, are throwing seeds at that field. And the seeds might be, you know, be quiet, you talk too much, nobody wants to hear that, use your inside voice, shut up, you're stupid. You know, all of those things. And even from the best parents, even from the most well-meaning parents and teachers, things are said, those seeds drop into the soil, and then they begin to become the framework of the story we tell ourselves. And it's so perplexing. I remember when I first started learning about eating disorders in grad school and realizing that women who had been heavy and lost all the weight, when they looked in the mirror, they still saw a heavy person. Thought, how's that possible? Mm-hmm. And it's because of the way the brain works. Yeah. So you're right. Understanding that the stories that we have in our heads, the unconscious, subconscious stories that we have, we didn't even make them up. Most of them are learned, and they were learned mm-hmm. so long ago, we don't even remember not thinking them, not believing them. So to actually decide at this point in your life, I'm going to change my story. I'm going to stop believing what I've been believing and start believing something new, and then have the audacity to share it. Simple, not easy. I wonder if you would share what you think the most common story, because you work with so many women, what do you think the most common story is that most women believe about themselves that's not true and is holding them back?
And nobody wants to hear their story. Why would I share my story? Nobody would want to hear it.
Really?
Yep. That's a really big one. A really big one. There's some other big ones. Even if they think, okay, I do have a story, because I think some women do recognize that they've been on a big journey, and some people do. They're, you know, granted, there are some people that have much bigger stories in terms of like headline capability than others. Yet we can fall prey to believing that those stories are more important. And so, you know, that's why we get into that. Well, nobody would want to hear mine because I haven't suffered some massive trauma or overcome some huge trial and tribulation and all that thing. So mine's not really as important. And so let me be quiet. So Susie over here, who has one of those big stories, can make sure her story gets out. Then the opposite of that is those who do have big stories sometimes just don't know what the hell to do with it. You know, it scares them to death. And that's when the pressure of I'm going to get it wrong, or, you know, I'm going to scare people away, I'm going to be judged, that the trials and the tribulations and the traumas and the hurts and the pains that that story has, because typically a lot of our stories do have some of that. You know, they're going to have to relive it again. They're going to be stuck in that pain. They're going to be stuck in victimhood. And so a lot of people don't want to share that because they feel like they're spreading more of it. Whereas what I teach is that when you actually learn how to tell your story properly, you actually get beyond that, beyond the pain, beyond the trauma, beyond the trials and tribulations of whatever that journey was for you. And you get to the other side of it. And that's where the true message of hope and encouragement and light really does live. So if you stay stuck in the before, is what I call it, the before of your transformation, then that's all you're ever going to hear. But if you actually say, yeah, but then this happened, you know, so it's the dot, 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 and then this happened. If you get into that frame of mind, well, yeah, I was, you know, had this trauma and it taught me to do this. Or, yeah, I had this abandonment issue, but I've also experienced this. Like, you have to get to the other end all the way through the storyline to really find where is the lesson, where is the message, where is the wisdom, you know, that other people are going to find beneficial by you sharing that story.
See, you really believe every woman has a story.
Yes.
And yes. Every woman's story should matters. Be told.
Absolutely. I believe it. You know, Diane, I've been doing this work as a journalist and video producer, someone who's been interviewing people for a long time. And I say this all the time because it's like, you know, I have sat down and not just with women, with men and women. I've interviewed men and women throughout my career. And I have yet to sit down with somebody and do an interview and talk to them, or even just like an informal interview, not even like an official interview, but just like I meet somebody new and I start talking to them, you know, it doesn't take me long to find their unique value proposition, like their unique story. Cause I ask a lot of questions. That's kind of the nature of my personality. I have never walked away from someone or some interview or anything like that going, well, that person doesn't have a story. That person sure is boring. Now, they may have a boring delivery. They may have a boring countenance of how they, you know, present that story, but that can be fixed. But you really, the reason why it may come across as boring is because that person doesn't believe they have a story.
No, this totally makes sense. And let's talk about your own story for a minute, because I don't know if I've told you this yet, but I have a bachelor's degree in communications. And I was initially planning to go into journalism, particularly investigative journalism, because I'm pretty bold. I'm very nosy. I'm super curious. And when I'm onto something, I'm like a dog with a bone. I just can't let it go. I ended up getting talked out of it by a guidance counselor, which I'm sad about because I ended up going in a totally different direction. I try not to have regrets about anything I've done in my life. But I love being a podcaster now because in a way it's allowed me to reconnect with that part of me that really enjoys talking to people, getting to know their stories. But how did you end up choosing this path? Is it, it's got to be more than just being curious and liking people.
That was going to be my answer.
I really scratch that question.
No, I definitely can go deeper than that. But it really did start with being super curious. You know, as a child, I really was that kid that just asked a lot of questions and really enjoyed being around people. I really, really did. My parents were very gregarious. Is that the right word?
I think it's gregarious, but yeah.
Thank you.
But
outgoing. Thank you, gregarious. And, yeah. I know, I was like seeing it in my head and can't get the phonetics there, but yes. Very outgoing, very gregarious, always having parties at our house. And there were always just people around, always a lot of people around in my childhood. Mm. And we did a lot of things. We had, you know, went on trips with other families, that kind of thing. And so I got used to just sitting in the room listening, you know, as a young girl, those adults weren't paying me any attention. And I got used to just sitting and listening to them because I was curious. Mm-hmm. And I have siblings, but my siblings are much older than me. My sister and my brother are both 7 years and 10 years respectively older than me. So oftentimes they were out doing their own thing, hanging out with their friends. And I was left to just be in the room while my parents had parties with their friends and went to dinner with their friends. I got dragged into all of that. And so I just noticed how they interacted and how they shared their stories. And I think that subconsciously, even though I wouldn't have words around that when I was 7 or 8 or 10 years old, I can see now how that influenced me. I see how they bonded with people. I see how they built relationships with people and that carried them through some very difficult times in their own adult life that I was also privy to and witnessed. So, you know, looking back, I can see that that did make a big impact on me. I don't know that I had a direct correlation to that when I decided to go to college and become a journalism major, but obviously my curiosity was feeding that. I knew it would be a good career. I thought it would be a great career because it would allow me to do something I really enjoyed doing, which was talking to people, getting their story. And I was very interested in human interest stories. So I grew up in the age and era of Barbara Walters and watching her on the news, you know, doing all of those post-Oscar interviews and just really human interest, fun, entertaining, you know, but also deep. You know, some of those, you know, Barbara Walters was known for making people cry. And I really, really just admired that in a weird way. I just really was like, I want to be in that conversation where people will share those types of stories with me. Hmm. And so it just influenced me. And so, yeah, I mean, it really is as simple as I was curious and I really do love people. I find them innately interesting. Mm-hmm. And I guess I have that skill of being able to find the story in people. But it was just a culmination of a lot of influence in my life, both from society and from my internal family, and just really identifying at an early age what my skill set was. I'm one of those weird people that actually, you know, went to college and on day one claimed my major and never changed it. And
I've been working so much.
And I've been working in the industry my entire adult life. I've never really wavered. I've had many different jobs and many different job titles, but categorically, it has been telling stories with people.
It really makes me wonder if that guidance counselor had not convinced me that it would be a mistake. I think I could have stayed in that career all this time. Meanwhile, I've changed careers several times. I've excelled in all of them, but they didn't hold me. And I think this career, interviewing people, talking to people, evoking their stories, shaping their stories, sharing their stories, has so much intrinsic meaning because human beings are storytellers, always have been.
We are.
Back to cave paintings. Yes. And until we develop the ability to write and to retain information in a physical form, all storytelling was how we passed on our learning from generation to generation.
And our legacy.
And our legacy. Yeah. You know, you could have been a therapist too, probably, because in a way that was, as a therapist, which I did for many, many years, you are also listening to stories. You are helping people tell their stories. You are also helping them transform their stories. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons why I decided not to continue to be a therapist is, unfortunately, too many times it seemed like people would get very attached to the story that they had been telling. And even though they were no longer in pain, they were still attached to the identity that they formed around that story. And at some point in my life, I started feeling like I was eager for them to move on to a new story, maybe more eager than they were. And I realized I was kind of out of sync with them and had actually evolved into more of a coaching role, which is much more goal-oriented than insight-oriented. And I think that probably makes a lot of sense to you too.
Oh, it totally does. And it's, I've had a lot of people tell me, especially clients, people that I work with on their story, that, you know, they're like, April, you're like my therapist, you know, and of course I'm not skilled, I'm not trained, I'm not qualified to do any of that, not certified, certainly. But you're right, there is a lot of similarity between, you know, therapy and coaching, even though those are two very distinct worlds. But they're very similar in terms of like how we listen to people's story, how we learn to have empathy, yet also can listen objectively, not put ourselves in that story, and just be able to guide people and maneuver through that story as they need to offer up healing. And that's one of the pieces of my own story is, as I've gotten into this work deeper and deeper and deeper beyond being a journalist and doing the work that I did for a long time, but now doing this work that I do at Lightbeamers has allowed me to step into those roles even at a deeper level that I didn't really see coming. I didn't know that that was really where I was being guided always. But now that I'm here, it has been incredibly fulfilling, and I do really feel like I'm, you know, doing the work that God intended me to do all along.
I love it when a personal journey, you can connect the dots looking backwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And recognize everything that's happened up until now has prepared me for this moment. It just makes everything that you do so, so satisfying. So I've noticed that several times in our conversation so far, April, you've used the word light. And I know that the business that you have, the community that you've created, the courses that you sell, your whole program, your brand, your business is Lightbeamers. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about is, what does that mean exactly? When I first heard it, I wasn't really sure, and I'd love to hear it directly from you.
Yeah, it's one of those brands, when you see Lightbeamers, it's not good branding because it doesn't tell you what the business is about.
So, but if you're a curious person like me, you're like, wait, what's that? I want to know more.
Yeah. Well, and there's a story with it that I'll share, because it's the reason I named it Lightbeamers is not because I thought it would be good branding, and it's not because I thought that, you know, it would be cute and all of those things. It's much deeper than that. And it was, again, tied back to my own story. About 6 years ago, roughly, just was in a space in my career where I felt stagnant. I felt that I had done a lot of things. I definitely have some cool accolades and experiences and people that I've interviewed that, you know, would tick off a lot of boxes by other people's, you know, all accounts, right? By other people's assessment. And yet I felt that there was more that I could be doing creatively. Mm. And I didn't really know what that was. My kids were, you know, toddlers and school age kids. And I was by and large, you know, working from home, trying to manage being a mom and doing this business that I've always loved and trying to keep it afloat while I had balance in my life, and I just was really seeking. What does this look like? How can I take it to the next level? How can I do more with my work? How can I allow my work to have more meaning? I kind of was at a space where I was just doing the work to collect a paycheck. And that didn't really feel very good to me, even though I love the work that I was doing. It just, I felt like there was like, it was very transactional. Mm-hmm. And so just, you know, by nature of how I work and how I operate, I was journaling a lot and asking, and I talked to God in my journal. That's kind of how I communicate with him. I don't really sit down and close my eyes and pray, although I do that too. But really, I have these conversations and I just was asking myself and asking my inner spirit, like, what does this look like? If I could really create the business of my dreams, or I could do the work that would set my heart on fire, what would that look like? And it really was just, man, I want to go tell all the stories. I want other people to know that they have these stories inside of them too. And I know not everybody gets a journalist sent to their doorstep to do that story work with them. So how can I get to the masses if I can't be the one that always goes and does the story for them? And I looked around at the time at social media and I saw an open source media platform that was free. And it was available for all of us to share our stories, to be able to use that story, to connect with other people, to build relationships, to heal our world. I'm going to get really high level, like, you know, visionary, like
I love it.
Pollyanna on you, because I'm a good Pollyanna over here.
I love an idealist. Go for it.
That is what I saw. Like, man, we could be telling our stories and we would connect better. We wouldn't have all of these hate conversations online. We wouldn't be politicizing every single thing that, you know, comes under the radar, all of that. And so I just thought, well, I'm going to figure out a way to do it. So I really was asking, you know, God at that time, what does this look like? How am I going to do it? You know, because when we get an idea, Diane, what do we ask next? Well, how am I going to do that? How am I going to do that? And so I was asking God that big how word. And of course, that's not the answer we really need. And he sent me this word, light. And it didn't make any sense to me. I didn't even know really that it was God talking to me at first. I just kept hearing this word or seeing this word, or I would read a book and kind of the words on the page would go blurry and the light would jump out, or I'd be in the kitchen doing dishes and I would think I would hear somebody say something to me and I would hear that word light and I would turn around and nobody was in the room, like that kind of stuff.
Well, you know what they say, repetition, 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 right?
Yeah. It eventually got my attention, right? Because it had kind of been going on. And so when I really sat, I'm like, okay, I think I'm being delivered a message. And this had never happened to me before. I mean, I have conversations with God, but usually I'm the one talking and I don't always hear the messages. But I actually heard the message this time and he sent it loud and clear. And I thought, what is light? You know, and I started thinking about what I was seeking. And I was like, well, light is something that is not heavy. And I didn't want my life to feel heavy. I didn't want things to feel hard. I didn't want things to feel complicated. I think we all desire that.
Yes.
And then light is also something that illuminates the way. And I thought, well, what illuminates the way? Stories illuminate the way. This I know to be true. I've been doing this work for 20 years. I know this already. So I need to go help people share their story so that they can shine a light. And it just came to me, like, that's what stories do. When we share our stories, we shine a light. And that's when we become light beamers. And so that was just what was born in that moment. And that is my fundamental belief, is that number one, it was, again, something that I was being called to go do, share your gifts. I was asking for it. I was asking for the assignment.
You were asking for it.
I was absolutely asking for the assignment. I just didn't realize that's what it would really be. But I gratefully and graciously accepted it. And it is what puts me out there every single day, being super visible, doing the uncomfortable, getting really loud with women and kind of shaking my fist at them saying, come on, it is time. It is time to rise up. It is time to elevate our voices. It is time to get our messages out there, because no one is coming to do it for us. No one is coming to do it for us.
No one is coming to do it for us. And nobody will give us permission to do it either. I think women have been so culturally conditioned to wait to be chosen, to wait to be invited, to wait to be asked, and to wait for permission that what do we think is, who's going to give us that permission? Who?
Nobody. Us. We're the only ones, ourselves. And that's the hardest piece of it. So that goes back, you know, to the very first question you asked me about why don't we share our stories? And my big, long, deep answer is it's generational, it's societal, it's cultural, it's biblical. There's so many reasons why we don't. And it's been piled on us for 2,000 years. And we're living with that. But that's never, ever going to change until we step forward and change it.
And
I fundamentally believe that.
No, and it's absolutely true. And there are women alive now who have personally experienced or had relatives personally experience the condemnation that can come down when you speak up uninvited. So the reality is that there are places in this world that it is simply not safe for women to speak up, no matter how much we encourage them. And I think that, you know, we need to acknowledge our privilege in being in a country and being white and middle class and all of the privileges that go with that, that even we have more permission than other women in other places do. And it's still hard. I don't know about you. I've been watching The Handmaid's Tale, which is so scary because if it seemed entirely fictional, it might be entertaining, but it is chilling because any one of us can imagine that it could happen in our lifetime. It could
absolutely
happen. And I think that's why it's so important, things like that. But, you know, there's nothing like, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, this is, I guess, one of the reasons where, you know, that idealist in me goes to the opportunities that, and I hear you, there's definitely pockets and, you know, pieces of society around the world that this is very dangerous for women to step forward and do anything out of turn. And, you know, they do have to wait for permission. However, I believe in the secret society of sisterhood. And I believe that the more we have these conversations like we're having on this podcast, where, you know, we are the driven women and we can have these conversations, that even if we can reach that and get that voice out there to someone who can't yet do that for safety reasons and for other reasons like that, that they still know that they are not alone and that it is possible. It may not be possible for them yet because we haven't just found the way to break through those chains, but that it is possible. And that's why I feel like it's so important for women to share their voices, especially those of us who are free to do so.
Indeed. Indeed. And what do you think the first obstacle a woman needs to overcome to do that? You mentioned, first of all, understanding that what your story is in your head is not true. Mm-hmm. And you can tell yourself a new story. Okay, let's just say there's a woman listening right now who says, okay, I get it. I've been thinking I'm not enough. I'm incompetent. I have nothing to say. Nobody wants to hear from me, but I really want to get over that because I have a burning desire to share something. What's the next step?
The next step is to identify what is that burning desire. Again, we're shifting from paying attention to the negative stories in our head to shifting to that story that you actually do want to go tell. So spend a little bit more time watering that garden and asking yourself those questions. Well, what is that that I would want to share with other people? What experiences do I have in my life that have shaped my perspective, have shaped my positioning, have shaped my belief system that might be helpful for someone else? Like, what would I want my message to say? You know, I didn't know at the time that I was really going to come out with this message that everybody has a story and that you should share that story and all stories matter. But it was just in that prayerful asking period, seeking period of my own life, that I identified that. You know, I'm like, what do I know to be true? If I look back on my career, this is what I know to, not just my career, but my life.
Your whole life.
I shared my whole life, as I told you, like 7 years old, sitting in the living room with my parents while they're having cocktail parties with their friends and paying attention to how they communicate and how they bonded and built relationships and friendships that have stood the test of time. And so I have paid attention to those things. And so that was really when, man, gosh, what would happen if they had not shared those story with each other? What would happen if you went to meet your best friend and you didn't, you know, your soon to be best friend, but you actually didn't have that period where you shared and swapped your stories and kind of opened up your soul and let that person in? And so just, you know, you have to decide, each woman has to decide, what are the experiences that I've been through that have really left a mark on me, that I have learned something from, that I could actually go share a particular message? Is that a message I can get behind? You know, and then the next thing is, I think the really important piece of storytelling is knowing who your audience is, right? So knowing who you're talking to. So identifying who is it you want to go tell that message to. I have very clearly identified, I want to go share my message with women, and especially women who think that they don't have a story or that their story is too complicated and dirty to tell. Those are my people, because there are a lot of women out there that are doing a wonderful job sharing their story. And I applaud them. I lift them up. I celebrate them, all those things. But I'm not talking to them because they've already figured that part out. I'm talking to the women who haven't yet harnessed the power of their story. And I know that's who I'm talking to. So you have to identify, who do you really want to spend your time talking to? That's when you get to that point, when you can identify who your audience is, that little critic in your head, that little Uncle Joe or, you know, Cousin Steve or whoever the hell that guy is that's in your head, or negative Nelly, maybe it's a Nelly, not a Steve, I don't really care who it is. If you really pay attention, they're not your audience. They're not really the ones that you're showing up for anyway. So stop giving them airtime.
So do you work primarily with women who are solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, coaches, consultants, or do you also help women who want to shape and share their stories in other ways, let's say through ministry or just even in their personal life?
Yes, all of that. I definitely serve a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners and coaches, authors, writers, you know, those, that sector of people. And I also serve women who don't want to make a darn penny off their story, but it's really just for them to really harness it and know that they, if it helps them, this is the healing part, right? If it can get them closer to knowing their intrinsic value and worth, then sign me up. You know, I'm there. I want to do that work with them.
That sounds fantastic. So if anyone listening right now is thinking, oh my gosh, where has April Pertwee been all my life? I need to be a part of her world. Obviously, I'm going to connect to all the places where you can be found, your podcast, your courses, your membership community, all the things. But what would be the first step that someone could take to be a part of your world and to soak up more of what you're putting into the world?
The very first place I started when I launched Light Beamers, when I didn't have all of those things you just mentioned, I didn't have courses, I didn't have a membership site, I didn't have a podcast. I just had a desire to get women into community with me so that we could start these conversations, was the community that I have today. I started that community with that intention. And so that would be my first invitation to you, is just to get into my community.
It is on Facebook.
It's a private Facebook group, Light Beamers Community. And that's just a place. And again, because it's private and it's, you know, behind the scenes, it's behind the wall, that we can have a little bit more open conversations in there. I curate that community like my life depends on it. And I make sure that there is nobody in there that does not need to be in there, that is not there with the right intentions, so that you can have a space to come in and feel welcomed, safe, encouraged and really have a place to explore your story. I do prompts in there. I do lots of things that are going to help you excavate that story a little bit more. And I'm extremely available in that group.
I can definitely attest to that because I joined the group recently after appearing as a guest on your podcast.
Yes.
And almost immediately after being welcomed as a new member, you introduced me to other women in the group that you thought I might want to get to know, including one I'm going to have a coffee date with in a week or so after we're both fully vaccinated, because I relocated to another state and I haven't gotten to learn that many people locally yet. And it turns out another light beamer is literally less than 5 miles away. So I can attest to how not only available you are in the community, but the fact that it actually is a community and that you're very generous about wanting women to feel that sense of belonging. So I encourage anyone listening who's interested in storytelling in April and all the wonderful things that she's doing, this mission and this message in the world, hop on in there. I will see you there. Thank you,
Diane. I love having you be a new member of our community. It's a joy to have you in there. And I am so grateful to get the opportunity to share this message with your audience today.
Thank you for being here. And hopefully we'll be able to have you back another time because I know you have so much to teach and offer and share. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Hey, it's Diane. Can I be honest with you? At the beginning of each new year, I always told myself, this is the year I'm going to get my habits dialed in. This is the year I'm going to be crystal clear about my goals and I'm going to crush them. This is the year I'm going to get my shit together on every level and I'm going to do it all by myself. Been there, done that, got a whole stack of t-shirts. But you know, it wasn't until I started working with my own coach that I realized what a difference it makes to have guidance, support, and accountability from someone who's not only like-minded, but like-brained. Yeah, I'm talking about another driven woman, entrepreneur, who also has ADHD and has got it going on. I have two openings in my signature one-on-one 12-week coaching program, and one of them might have your name on it. There's a link to a free consult with me in the show notes if you think this might be the year that you really get serious and go all in on an ADHD-friendly business and life. While you're thinking about that, have a listen to what one of my client's success stories has to say about the difference it made to work with me.
It's funny because at first I said I would never own my own practice. And now I own my own practice. And I would say, I'm never going to take it any more than just treating patients. Now I'm thinking about how can I start my own
institute. You know,
yeah, exactly. Even like training other therapists, having a certification with my name that I am, you know, I haven't thought of the name yet, but I'm certified in this technique or whatever the case may be. And really just helping other therapists help their patients the way I help mine.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.